is the Freedom Theme Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Shane and John?
I can feel it. I don't even need to put my 3D glasses on, man.
Oh. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by Shane and John. And it's Sunday. Or Monday. Yeah, it's Monday for me now. Woo! And what's going on with you guys, man? I spent a day hanging out with my kids, playing on Steam It, messing with my miner. What have you guys been up to?
I've been trying to work on the book that I made a ton of progress with recently, but this week I've just been diving deep into the crypto stuff and not getting too much of that work done, but at least I'm getting something done.
Well, that's good.
I got a few errands done today. I went and got my oil changed and did my grocery shopping, but I stayed up late last night and didn't get a lot of sleep, so I pretty much passed out and slept all day, so I'm wide awake now for the show.
All right, cool. So John and I can take a nap and Shane's going to carry us through. Excellent. I'm actually pretty wired right now. I think I got a couple of naps actually, because I passed out on the couch a little earlier while the kids were playing. I like nodded off like 45 minutes, and then
read the thing, Daryl.
Trigger warning! This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A. We are coming a mile. You know, from a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios in the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista, we're here, you and me, Lou, to alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. So, ready to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head? I'm just jumping right ahead. Can you feel this, really? Is it really happening?
Yeah, man. I'm listening.
I can feel it.
Okay.
We're not on the air.
Yeah, we are.
Jeremy's on the air. I just listened.
Board app just patched us back in.
All right.
Yeah.
Who do I believe?
Even if we're not, let's just pretend, because I can feel it. I can feel the healing power of the Freedom Fiends flowing through my locus aurelius, tickling my medulla oblongata.
I'm going to go fix your ad there, Lou. I was doing that. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Worms. Bye.
All right, worms.
Yeah. So I recorded an advertisement earlier tonight, and Michael's polishing it up a little bit, because I really don't do a whole lot of the audio mixing, putting the music together and all the editing and stuff that goes along with that. So he's kind of like our dry cleaner, where he fluffs and folds all these different things for us. And it's for the upcoming 6th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. Are you familiar with it?
I am so familiar. In fact, I know a bunch of the attendees and some of the speakers coming up.
Okay, yeah. So you know Dana Martin?
Yes, of course.
I think you know Brett Venat?
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind. Yep.
Okay, and you know Prof. CJ?
Prof. CJ, Dangerous History Podcast, is that him?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a good guy. Also, would be Nick Hazelton be there, I think?
Oh, yeah, the punk juvenile delinquent.
Yeah, that guy.
He's scheduled to be there. I don't know if he's going to be my indentured servant, though.
What is his name again?
The deer in the headlights want to be Yak Emperor.
Yes, that's it.
he refers to himself as the dear sweet Yak Emperor, but he's more like the punk juvenile delinquent, although he's not really a juvenile anymore. But here's another name that will be a speaker, and I just got the 100% thumbs up on this, and it's on the guy's website, and I guess he spent a couple minutes talking about it on a podcast interview. Are you familiar with Scott Horton of Antiwar.com?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so Scott Horton is scheduled to be at the Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest, and he's on the tour promoting his book, Fool's Errand, talking about Afghanistan.
Wow. This sounds like it's going to be a great event. I really, I got to say, I want to earn more crypto and make it there.
Yeah, you need to get there.
Yeah,
you need to get there.
That's true. It's true. I've done a pork fest, so it's just a matter of time. And that's not a dirty word. That's the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You know, done one of those. So I really want to make it out to Michigan. That sounds fun.
Well, you need to because you know a lot of the people that will be there already. So
It is true.
Not just the folks from New Hampshire, but you know Katie from the Nonviolent Communication, Peaceful Parenting stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a whole gang of people there. Not just big name celebrities like Scott and Brett and CJ and Dana and Nick, of course. But I just some of the people that you may only know them from FaceBeast or the Twitters, you know, twittering at each other. It's a very interesting group of folks that'll be out there to say.
Yeah, I mean, I like to open my mind, Lou. I like to sort of see how many different kinds of people can I learn from and I would say peacefully create some type of relationship with, you know. And that is exactly the kind of thing I like to see. It sounds like an easier version of Porkfest, basically.
Yeah. Probably one of the best descriptions that I've heard of it. I don't know if you know Christopher. We refer to him as Beardy McBeard because he's got this big, giant beard. It might be in dreadlocks right now. I don't know. It's longer than mine, and mine's almost in dreadlocks. Matter of fact, when we go to the break, I'm going to have to blow dry it because I just got out of the shower, and it's still long. I'll have to braid it up and everything. No, it's not quite that long. But anyway.
Beardy McBeard.
Christopher McBeard described Liberty Fest as group therapy because you spend all this time around all this negativity, all this venom, meaning Republicans, Democrats, and other lazy voters. And in this situation, you're around people that are, for us, peaceful resolution to everything and getting along with each other is it's just a normal sort of thing. But when you're used to the regular world out there with all the normies that can't handle all of our dank, they have a tendency to freak out and start screaming and howling and you know, just a lot of screeching over nothing. And it's a peaceful, friendly, happy environment. I guess that's my teaser. I don't want to tell everybody exactly how it is because then they might be like, well, I don't need to go. I just heard about it. Lou did such a great job of describing it that I feel like I've been there. No, get there. You need to be there.
Pretty much. If you're listening to this right now, especially this is like what is covering all of Liberty Radio Network, for example, which is kind of large. Yeah. If you're listening to this right now, like on all of these various networks, I mean, I'm imagining there's more people listening to us now, Lou, on various rebroadcasts across the interwebs than there are terrestrially live on radio right now. What do you think? Bigger numbers? That's a real weird question.
I honestly have no idea because with the terrestrial radio, you never know exactly how many people are listening, how many truckers are going, how many truckers are going down the road, and how many people are driving around and catch a pirate radio station that means. So there's absolutely no way of knowing, but just to show that I am inclusive, I want all of our friends out in Alpha Centauri to be prepared for the 10th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest when they hear this in like 4 years. So,
I gotta say, technical difficulties over here. Skype was trying to drone me as you were speaking. Meaning,
oh wow!
I did not take the I didn't uninstall it enough before this whole event here of talking with you today. I wasn't even knowing you were going to show up tonight, actually. So,
yeah, I didn't really know either. I was talking to Michael earlier, and I said, hey, can I drop in? And he's like, yeah, sure, anytime. I'm like, okay, cool. So, yeah, you and I, we never get a chance to talk too much.
No, there's this five-hour difference, and I think I can make excuse that we're both working all the time, something like that.
Yeah. Well, we both work daytime hours, and for me, my daytime is middle of the night for you, middle of the night.
I'm 5 hours away from you, so.
Yeah, But you're 5 hours earlier than I am.
Oh, wait, you do like a third shift thing?
No.
No. No.
No, second shift? No, I do the regular 8 to 5.
Oh, okay.
But my 8 a.m. is what? 3 a.m. for you?
That's so true. That's ouch. Yeah.
So maybe you will consider dropping in on a Wednesday night in March because I have some openings in there.
It's possible. It's so possible that I'm actually going to use the pen and write this down, Lou. I still use pen and paper. Do you ever... Are you still doing that kind of thing, or are you all digital over there?
Oh, I use pen and paper. I graduated from the quill and bottle of ink. So I'm not doing that anymore. But yes, I find pen and paper to be useful. Roll it up in a little into a little scroll. Grab a rubber band and tie it around the ankle of a crow and send it off.
Yeah, that's very old school. I like the scrying through the tea leaves to basically understand what exactly the show notes should be for tonight, you know, that kind of thing.
I didn't get any show notes. I'm not wearing my glasses, so it wouldn't matter if I did have them. So anyways,
what we have planned for the show, what me and Michael planned for the show, now I'm speaking to the audience, including you, Lou, we had a series of interesting topics, everything from logical fallacies to those weird devices called Fitbits that monitor fitness and something like a stand your ground law over there in Florida. There's like a series of things like show prep. Michael tends to send me a whole series of things like that. And, over here, Emily just says that, oh, you're talking to your little friend over there. And it's true. For all I can tell, both of you guys are really tiny because, you know, you're just tiny little voices in my ear. Just thought I'd mention that.
Well, I am happy to be the voice in your head.
So, whatever we choose to talk about might or might not include the things I just mentioned, but I'm curious to see what you have to bring to the table. I'm looking forward to hearing the ad for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You know you want to be a filmmaker. As Rick of Rick and Morty says, school's not a place for smart people. Nowhere is this more true than film school. Don't waste years and $100,000 being taught by those who couldn't make it. Just get a camera and a $7 Kindle version of $30 Film School 3rd Edition. $30 Film School 3rd Edition is the recent update on the classic 2003 book that helped spark the do-it-yourself filmmaking revolution. Written by DIY filmmaker Michael W. Dean, whose high-quality, low-budget movies star Academy Award winners and nominees, get worldwide distribution, and have been in many respected film festivals. The first two editions sold over 100,000 copies, and it's recommended reading in many colleges. The book is back, updated for today's high-def consumer cameras, but still has the same self-starter ethic and tips that no other book has. Get it delivered this minute to your Kindle or phone for only $7. Go to Amazon and type in $30 Film School 3rd Edition. That's $30 Film School 3rd Edition.
Words.
Words.
Yeah.
How's that?
Am I good? Is this a good volume?
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah. Up here we go.
Yeah.
How's that? Worms.
On
What's
air.
Up, guys? What's up, guys? So.
Level checks.
It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. I was late. Because I was doing God's work for Liberty. I was editing an ad for Lou, and I ran into a sampling rate issue. But I'm a pro, so I can handle it. And you know, I do have a website that tells how to do all that stuff. It's creamyradioaudio.com. And how are you guys doing tonight? You having a fun night?
It's great. It works.
Yeah.
I'm having a fine evening.
Good, good. Who said it's great? Was that the board op?
That was me.
Oh. It's funny.
I was hamming it up, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see, while we are pimping things out, Cell 411. Have you talked about Cell 411 yet?
It's
no,
time
we
didn't
not
do it, touch it.
Yet.
Cool. Cell 411 is a great app made by our friend Virgil Viduva. And it basically replaces the government in your pocket. That's what it should be called. Government in your pocket. Government in a box. No, it's actually better than that. Because it won't shoot you, unlike the government. And it is an app for Android phone and iPhone that is free, that is available on the respective places you get apps for those. The Google Play Store and the, what is it, iTunes for iPhones? I don't even know, man. It's weird. I've had stuff on there and I don't even know. But, so it's an app that you set up cells with your friends and neighbors to round them up when you need them for something. Like, yeah, Lou, you got something
sleeper
there?
Cells?
Yeah, no. Awake cells. Totally woke cells.
Woke Jobs cells.
Sleeper cells. Woke cells. And you get your friends together and like, let's say someone's trying to break into your house. You could press a button on your phone and it would call, you know, four of your neighbors to run over with hatchets and deal with it and shovels. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, you should always alert law enforcement after you have to kill somebody in self-defense in your home. Wait, I'm sorry. What?
And can you do better than hatchets and shovels for self-defense?
Just call the Libertarian Cleaning Service. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have questions for Lou about anarchy when we get done with this segment. You be on for the next segment, Lou?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Call the Libertarian
Cleaning Service. Answers.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to play Minarchist Mike and ask you questions. But so cell phone one, you use it to bring people to your home to aid you for anything you need help with or to your location, wherever you are, instead of calling the government who will show up and, you know, they don't show up and try to help you. Like an example, okay, there's a girl in our movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, the girl that's sitting on the couch. DJ refers to her as the SpongeBob SquarePants girl because she sounds like she's going to say, I was sitting on my couch in my SpongeBob SquarePants pajamas, because she's just so like young and cute and fluffy, and she ended up in jail because somebody called the fire department to try to help put out a fire and do what the fire department does. So someone lit a couch on fire in front of her building, and the fire department came. And the police department came, as they often do with the fire department, because they can. And the fireman went into the house, and this girl had nothing to do with the fire. It was just vandals, you know, in the neighborhood, kids, whatever. She had nothing. She didn't know what happened. She just smelled smoke. I think she actually called 911. And the fire department showed up. Firemen went through the building to do a check to make sure no one was in trouble or whatever, like firemen sometimes do to be helpful. And they smelled marijuana, and they went and told their police buddies outside. And the police buddies came in, smelled marijuana, and knocked on her door, and she answered the door. And they said, excuse me, ma'am, can we search your house? And she didn't know her rights and said, okay. And they found her pot and her magic mushrooms. And so the moral of the story is never call the government. But with cell 411, you could call, you know, your friends to come over with hoses and fire extinguishers, put out that fire, and you'd never have to deal with the government. You can also use it. This is a great app. Cell 411 is a great app if your kids are bullied. Because, like, let's say, you know, you have a younger kid in school who gets bullied. You have an older kid who could defend them, but they're in the high school, but it's in the same building. The younger kid could use this app to get the bigger brother to come over and stick up for him when the bigger kids pick on him. And it also films, you can film video with it and send it to your cells, your friends, and it is saved on the cell 411 server, so it's not lost if someone takes your phone. And it also sends your location to people. All right, we'll be back. More after this trip to the market. Worms.
Worms.
Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF.
Catmuff is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help Catmuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at Catmuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Catmuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
SourceForge, Lou.
Oh.
SourceForge. Okay. Yeah, which is like, that's a place where people keep projects and source code, kind of like GitHub. Yeah, I use GitHub. That's where Bitcoin and Fiendphone is, but it's like that. So, this is Mr. Michael Dean talking to Lou, and I did something spectacular this week that I want to share with people. I updated a 15-year-old book to be current and re-released it. So I wrote this book called $30 Film School. Came out in 2003, and this is like before YouTube. I mean, a lot of people weren't doing independent audio then, or independent video. Like, you know, nobody had a cell phone that had a good camera in it. To buy a good camera that by those standards that's not even a good camera today was like $3,500. And it didn't even, like, a $30 Android phone from Walmart, like a burner phone, shoots better video now than a $3,500 camera did in 2003. So this book, $30 Film School, that I wrote, that you can get for $7 on Amazon now as a Kindle book, updated, is in the third edition now. There was another edition in 2006. And so the book now is the book as it was meant to be, because what I did was I was started making movies and I was promoting them and touring with them and getting stuff done for free that usually costs money, and basically took like all the stuff I learned touring with a punk rock band about how to get things done for free or cheap and make them good. And I applied that to filmmaking and wrote a book about it. So I was going to have this book originally be called 99 Cent Film School. Like, if some of you might know that, like, the donate link, I've changed this recently, but the donate link on the Freedom Fiends used to be, my PayPal ID used to be 99 Cent Film School was the name of it. because I started that in 2001. You know, and I was getting donations to make this film, and it was like there wasn't, when I was your age, like there wasn't Kickstarter, there wasn't any way to, you know, raise money easily. I just put up, you know, a PayPal link. PayPal existed. I mean, it was so weird that I was asking for donations for this film that when I was touring with the film, there were newspapers that was their story. Like, this guy's asking for money to make a movie. How weird is that? And got the film made, made some other films, made some films that had movie stars in them, Robert Downey Jr., a whole bunch of people. And so this book was originally going to be $20 Film School. Originally, it was 99 Cent Film School, and it was a PDF that was like 10 pages long of everything I knew. And I was giving it away and encouraging people to make a 99-cent donation. And here's something I've learned is people don't value what they don't pay for, and people don't generally pay for things. Like, this thing got about 5,000 downloads, and, like, one person sent me 99 cents, and PayPal took 30 cents of it. So I decided to get a publisher and put it out as a book, and I wrote a pitch to call it $20 Film School, and somebody, you know, I got an agent and I got a publisher, and they're like, yeah, we'll do this. We'll give you a small advance. I think you give me $6,000 for the first one to finish it, you know, and they don't give it all at once because otherwise people spend it on whiskey and Fabergé eggs and never finish the book. You get a quarter when you sign, you get a quarter of it when you turn in 50% of it, you get a quarter when you turn in 100% of it, and you get a quarter when they approve it all and you've made all the changes they need. So I did this and put the book out, and And I wanted to call it $20 Film School, but they made me call it $30 Film School. And the name, that was the price. I wanted to charge $20. They wanted to charge $30. So to justify that, they had me do like a disc that came with it. It was a CD on the first edition, a DVD on the second edition, with basically a bunch of filler material. The only thing useful on it was like some contracts, you know, DIY contracts for getting stuff in writing, which for this edition are linked on my website. You know, it's just a little download. And a press kit of, you know, like when I toured with it, like the newspaper clippings of people saying, oh my God, this guy's raising money for a film. How weird is that? And, but they also had me like stretch the book out. I wanted it to be about 300 pages with pictures. They wanted it to be 500 pages to justify a $30 price. So they had me do a bunch of filler, basically doing like tutorials of using different filmmaking software and audio software. And I knew that this stuff would be out of date in like 6 months. And they're like, no, no, put it in. It's okay. And I'm like, but you can find this stuff on the web. I'd rather just tell everything else that's timeless. And they're like, no, no, no. So basically this edition of it eliminates most of that. And it's the book I wanted to write. And instead of $30, it's $7. And go read the reviews on it of the other editions. You know, it's all on one page. If you go on Amazon and search $30 Film School, it's, you know, the first thing comes up. It's all on one page. And the, you know, there's 191 reviews on this. And it actually sold over 100,000 copies. The reason there's not a lot more reviews is because the first edition was what sold most of them. And most of them were bought in bookstores. You guys remember bookstores? There used to be these places you'd go buy books.
There's one near me, but it's closed down.
I live in the backcountry kind of island, and there are bookstores here.
You know? Oh, they haven't realized yet. You don't have the internet there yet. Yeah,
there still.
Yeah,
is
you
a
record
Kmart
these ahead
here.
Of time and then mail them in, and then I edit you in. You snail mail your tape to me. Tape.
That's
so
no.
Floating over on a coconut.
He gets a rubber band, and the floppy disk, and rubber bands it to a seagull's ankle, and sends it on over.
You must have seen like Gilligan like pedaling some bamboo powered, you know, bicycle kind of thing. It looks like that, you know. It's like Gilligan's Island kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's funny. Where'd they get the bicycle on Gilligan's Island? Did they bring a bicycle on that
professor
that yacht,
made it
tiny
out of
yacht?
Bamboo, man. Are you kidding?
Oh, right. Okay. The professor.
He was inspired.
A professor today on a desert island would just be like organizing the women against the men. And going on strike. Yeah, so anyway, $30 Film School. Go get it on Amazon, $7 Film School. But I kept the name because the name, you know, people know the name. So $30 Film School is now $7, and that's all I got to say about that. So
sweet.
I have minarchist questions for Lou when we're ready.
I have a science question first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Blood acquires its red color from A, fibrin, B, hemoglobin.
Homoglobin.
It can't be that. D, gamma globulin, or E, communism.
Hemoglobin, why?
That was a question that came up on the internet. It's not a big internet.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm prepared to answer your minarchist Mike questions.
Okay. So we're voluntarists of some stripe, which, you know, there's another word for it is anarchists, but we're not the lefty kind. We're the righty kind, or the nothingy kind, you know, the kind that we like to
pro-choice.
Keep our money and we what? Say it, speak
we're
up.
We're pro-choice, there. Right?
We're pro-choice with our money. Yeah, there you go.
Pro-choice with our property.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Pro-choice with everything.
Yeah. Well, let's not get into an abortion debate here. That's got nothing to do with it. Well, it's got something to do with it, but yeah, whole stuff. Okay, so here's my minarchist question. And I mean, I make fun of people that vote. I used to vote. Then I wised up, and now I'm like, oh, the government's stupid. We don't need no, you know, blah, blah, blah. All they do, more harm than good. You know, if they start small, they always get bigger. Now, here's something kind of interesting. So one of the main people that influenced me to liberty is Boston Tea Party. For people that don't know, you should go look this guy up and get one of his books. He's a Wyoming writer, also goes by the name Kenneth Royce, that's his real name, writes under the pen name Boston Tea Party, and he's been writing, so that's like, that predates the Tea Party, you know, the movement. I mean,
tea as in the initial, right?
Yes, Boston Tea Party. And so, I mean, his books are really, have you guys read any of his books, either of you?
No.
I'm familiar with it, but I haven't read, I can't say I've read, but I am familiar with it. I think Hologram of Liberty is one of his.
Yeah, that's my heart. That was the one I had the most most trouble with, although that's a lot of people's favorite books. That's the one that basically explains in depth with a lot of legalese and quotations and citations how the founding lawyers basically put a leash on the Constitution and made it bad instead of good, and made it something that would lead to the huge federal government we have now. And
well, isn't that the story where the Foundling Fathers got caught doing their coup and got executed as traitors, and the Articles of Confederation stayed in place? Or am I thinking?
No, this isn't fiction. This is an academic book. Okay. He did write a work of fiction called Moulin Labe, which is basically about, well, see, the Free State Project in New Hampshire there were two things. There's the Free State Wyoming and Free State Project. Free State Wyoming's a lot bigger. I mean, Free State New Hampshire's a lot bigger than the Free State Project. But Free State Wyoming is bigger than people think. It just doesn't really have a web presence, because it's not, you know, 20-year-old people with phones, like, live tweeting their orgies going, look at me, I'm cool. It's like 50-year-old people who have a little more wisdom generally and stay the heck off the internet. And instead of, live tweeting everything they do and being activists in people's face, they'd rather go out and work on hitting a dinner plate with a battle rifle at 400 yards. And they're kind of cowboy. Yeah, they're kind of cowboy, but they're not Luddites. I mean, actually, I learned about how to use encryption from Boston, you know, how to use an encrypted email and how to use Linux and how to make hidden drives and things like that. So they're kind of like crypto cowboys before crypto meant cryptocurrency, back when it meant, you know, hidden. They're crypto libertarians. And he is a minarchist, and he's like the only minarchist I really have a lot of respect for, because that guy is more solid than pretty much every other libertarian writer and screecher out there. And he stays out of trouble, and he, like, you know, like, while everyone else is arguing and saying, like, give me money, blah, 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 he's like, you know, teaching rifle classes and investing to where he owns a private plane. You know, he's not, which I kind of like in someone like a free market person that can actually support themselves and do it well. But so this is going to trail into that. I'll ask the question and then you can answer it when we get back. So basically the idea is that we don't need government. The way that government would work, I'm not going to get this question out. I'll tell Lou during the break so he can formulate, and I won't spring it on him. I'll tell you when we get back. Worms.
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 You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form: crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Freedom Fiends is back.
Here we are on the Minarchist Fiends. Ew. So So minarchist is he is so anarchist believes in no government. And put on your pretend hats for a minute and be open-minded and realize that anarchist doesn't mean people dressed in black that hate Trump and want to beat up protesters that don't agree with them. Anarchist also means, and rightly means, people that want no authority and no government, no rule. It doesn't mean no rules, it means no rule. And no rulers. The idea, no what?
Ruler.
No rulers.
No rulers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just take measures.
Yeah, I don't know what I said, but so the idea is that, you know, people could be self-ruling, and the only problem is, how do you deal with bad people? Now, most minarchists, which are like close to anarchists, but they're minimal government people, most of them say things like, oh, we need, you know, the government needs to do military and international treaties and interstate highways, and that's it. But, I mean, Boston even believes that those things could be solved by the free market. But his theory is, you would need police and courts, and they wouldn't be like the police now that are running around, you know, trying to get everyone, trying to pull you over in a car that looks unmarked but isn't, to get your money for going 63 on a 60-mile-an-hour zone when there's no cars around. But his theory is that, so let's say in your polycentric law, libertarian anarchist paradise, your neighbor, you and your neighbor have a beef. So today, people would generally either talk to each other and then scream it out, or call the police and scream it out. But if there were not police to call, or if there were private police that you had to like agree to use, which is the theory a lot of anarchists use, the neighbor could just say, I don't recognize the authority of your private police, get off my property. And if they continued, he could probably rightfully shoot them because they're trespassing. And the polycentric law anarchist answer is usually, well, people wouldn't do business with people who were bad because they're bad people, and you would shun them, and that's how we deal with bad people without a government. And what I've learned from my experience in liberty, watching horrible people become revered, the worst of the worst rising to the top, is that not only would horrible people not have trouble finding someone to rent them a house and sell them property and sell them food and hire them, they would probably have slaves. They'd probably have people like begging to do their bidding, and they probably do well. So, Lou, how would you deal with that problem without the government and with shunning not working?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Michael.
Why, thank you.
Now, something that I can tell you is that in many situations, shunning does work, and you have to look at the severity of it and then also the group that you're dealing with. As an example, back when I was in the shelter, there was a guy that got busted stealing from other people in there, going into their rooms, getting stuff out of the wall lockers. And that guy was dead to the world for quite some time. Eventually, some people began to, well, they won't let him near their stuff, but they began to talk to him again. But he sat by himself at mealtime, and he was, you know, really just persona non grata. Now, if you take the situation in something that we see in the libertarian community on quite a regular basis, the pod beef or the face beef or the tofu beef, whatever it is, whatever their beef is or where they're getting it from. Quite frankly, a lot of that is kind of like the debates between one libertarian philosopher and another one, or the two eggheads, where people are going to have their opinions made up before the first word is even spoken. And those who support egghead A are going to say, you know, oh, egghead A won. And those who support egghead B are going to say the same thing about their egghead. And it's unlikely that anybody's really going to change their opinions on anything. It's a fact of life. It's a popularity contest. So nothing's going to change. But when it comes to if I have a beef with, let's say, Daryl. I don't like Daryl now. If I stop using Daryl's services, okay, that's fine, but why should I expect everybody else to? Why should I expect everybody to boycott Daryl even though they've had good experiences with him?
You must really hate Daryl.
No, actually, I like Daryl, but I'm just using him for this example.
We'll be back after this trip to the market. And Lou, you did not satisfactorily answer my question, so I'm going to let you talk more.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to talk more. Yeah.
Worm stew, good sir.
Ah, yes, worm stew.
By the way, I am pro Daryl.
I want everyone to vote pro Daryl.
Rick, on the other hand.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
You know that?
What's his name?
Phil Hendry. He's a old school radio personality from like back in the golden age of talk radio. Worms.
Wait a second. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the amygdala of liberty. We activate your mirror neutrons with the smooth sounds of serotonin splash at a distance. Please, go ahead and consider yourself warned. These are triggers. You're here.
Yeah. I don't know what any of that is, but it sounds like Rick and Morty, so I approve of it. Now, you're going to interrupt the questioning of Lou, because I said something about Rick and Morty, and you were like, wait a minute, what? What was that? What do you want to know?
Are you Phil Hendry? Me?
Yes, the person who loves Rick and Morty. What do you want to know about Phil Hendry on Rick and Morty?
What did he, like, this voice actor, what parts did he do?
Well, do you know who he is?
No.
Well, he's an old school radio host, like, you know, in '80s, '70s and '80s, like syndicated nationally before, you know, they'd give radio show to anyone, including us, you know, back when it meant something to be, I'm a radio, it still means something, I'm kidding. But he was like, you know, oh, I mean,
when
not as
Casey
famous.
Casey Kasem was meant something, you know?
No, but I don't know. Let's see. He's been doing shows since the 80s. He's a voiceover artist. Oh, 73. Mm. He does multiple characters on Futurama, Rick and Morty, King of the Hill. He's in that episode that you're referencing of the Marin show when Marin, like, hears this late night voice of sanity on the radio and drives to the radio station. Hendry's the guy that's in the radio station doing two voices of the caller and the host. And he's like, I'm going to sue you. No, I'm going to sue you. And he's doing both voices. And like, you know, he's the mentor in that show. And that's Phil Hendry. So I don't know. What does he do on Rick and Morty? Rick and Morty. He's credited in every show. Oh, he
every
does the
show.
Voice of Gene. Who's Gene? Gene, Principal V. I can't say his name, but yeah, he does. He does
no
scary, scary Glenn, and he's the voice of the principal. Yeah, okay. Oh, he kind of looks like the principal too, but which is common on shows. So anyway, Lou might not be on the whole show, so we could talk about Rick and Morty when the adults go to bed. So Lou, I'm going to repeat my question for anyone who didn't hear it in the first hour, because the time is 12:08. And 48 seconds, beep, because we're on radio. So the question is, in the lack of a government, how would courts and police work? Like, basically, how would you enforce contracts with your neighbor? Or, like, what would you do if someone, like, raped your kid? You know, I assume you'd kill them, but if you didn't see it, it was your kid's word against them. Like, how would you have a trial? How would you have police to collect the person to bring them to trial? How would you jail them afterwards? And the answer with most libertarian anarchists is, oh, well, the market would take care of that. There'd be polycentric law, and everyone would be able to pick their own arbiter or judge or court. And Boston Tea Party has a really good question with that, is what happens when your neighbor aggresses on your family, you send your private police over to bring your neighbor to your private court, and he says, no, get off my property, and points a gun at your private police. How would you deal with that problem without a government? Lou, go.
Well, once again, thank you very much for the very interesting question, Michael.
And it's the best question we've ever had on this show, actually. Yes.
And I can guarantee you that I will not give you a 100% solid answer that solves all situations. But you did use one of the words, polycentric law. There's a longtime history of it. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the book of Judges in the Bible, you have judges who are responsible for settling these disputes. In Somaliland, they use polycentric law that's outside of Islam or anything else, outside of any type of government law. And that goes back for quite a long time, too. And that's village and village, where... With the Zier law that they use there, the polycentric law, that is where if a person of one village has a problem with another village, both villages get together and you have these judges who are responsible for sorting things out, and they take a look at the facts of the case, and each village is beholden to. Or how can I put it? I think they're kind of on the line because of what the member of their village did. So there's kind of a pressure there for everybody to get along. If you go to the Old West, you had the vigilance committees, and they would go out and they would take a look at things. And if they had to chase down cattle rustlers, murderers, things like that, they would go out and do it. And quite frankly, their accuracy rate of getting the person that they're after was pretty good. Nobody made any documentaries called Making a Murderer out of them. There were issues of just grabbing somebody up and hanging them high because somebody had to pay. It doesn't matter who it is. They went out and they looked for the right person. Now, granted, that stuff's not going to be foolproof, but I guess a couple of things that I was respond to Mr. Tea Party about, it would be... Okay.
Oh, he didn't ask me this question. He told me his belief, and I'm asking the question not in his stead, but it's a he brought the question up to make me think of it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's his thing, though. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess my question to him would be, who do you call when your neighbor aggresses upon you and does something horrible, but your neighbor also wears a badge or is politically connected? What happens when that neighbor says, you know what, I'm not going to take this? And what happens when the police and the courts, because this person wears a badge or is politically connected, they pay you no mind, they sandbag you, whatever it is. They decide in the favor of the connected person.
Okay, I get that, but that's not the answer. That's kind of saying, well, I know I am, but what are you? That's a red herring almost. It's a diversion. It's not answering the question.
Yeah. Now, what you have to look at is most people do need or do feel a need to get along and resolve disputes. If you look at the terms of conditions and all these different software applications, people agree to participate in private arbitration if there's a dispute.
No, they don't. Nobody reads that. And all of those, I mean, some of those are actually quasi-legal enforceable because they're so heinous. A lot of those basically say the software company gets to choose the arbiter that's their buddy that's going to solve it their way.
Well, there are some people that do read these. I remember reading these things word for word, and it took me like 2 weeks to get my AI installed.
Yeah.
And that was just a couple of years ago. But, people generally look forward. People generally want to cooperate, and they want to get resolution on these things. There are many cases in business where doing bad business, you will be shunned by a significant number of people. There may be people out there that say, I've had no bad experiences with Daryl, therefore I'm going to continue to do business with Daryl. But I mean, there's absolutely nothing foolproof out there.
That's still not an answer. That's another. I know that, and it's very true. And it's my answer to people who say, "How would the roads work?" You know, I mean, they don't work perfect now. And my answer is, they're already built. They just have to be maintained. And I don't think there's a satisfying answer. The closest I've heard to it is actually of a person that is. A lot of people don't like him because they think he's racist, but Hans Urban Hoppe. So he's misunderstood He's so misunderstood. Like when he says that communists would have to be physically removed from, you know, if polite society in order to have an anarchistic society that worked, he's not talking about in the whole world and removed from the world. He's a big believer, and I'm going to answer your question better than you're answering it. He's a big believer in the idea of that you would have neighborhoods that to live in them, you'd have to sign a contract. What's the name for that?
Covenant commune.
Yeah, yeah, covenant commune, where it's not a hippie commune. It's a bunch of people who own their own stuff. But to live or even enter the neighborhood, you would have to sign the contract. So in those societies, I believe you could have, like, all of the examples you named of places where shunning works are closed societies or societies that people have an incredible amount of value in membership into it. Now, these darn kids today, they have no allegiance to anything, and I'm probably one of them that has, like, you know, I don't care what polite society in general thinks of me. I try to stay out of the way of causing trouble, but, you know, a lot of, I mean, what we're in a global society. We're not in an Amish closed community where nobody interacts with people outside, or they do interact and sell and buy from them, but that's it. You know, and they don't welcome someone to just come in and start a disco on their neighbor's land. So if you had a situation like that where there were a lot of those, you could, you know, probably enforce this kind of thing you're talking about. But what do you do about the person who comes into your property, murders somebody, and runs out of your covenant? You know, do you have the right to chase him into another covenant? What if that covenant doesn't want outside revenuers and lawmen coming in and picking people up? And the one thing that I've heard that really makes a lot of sense, and this is something that Tom Wood said, and I'm really kind of cottoning to him. I didn't like him a long time, but I really like him a lot now. Like, not so much for me, but I play him on my Cuss Free Liberty Network. I really think he's good for people other than me, people that are, you know, new to liberty.
Wait, I
he
think
was my gateway. He was my gateway.
Yeah.
But maybe Carol? Like Stephen Molyneux or that guy over there, whatever his name is. Yeah, I think what he did say though about, you know, essentially, you know, are there
on his show?
Are there?
I will
really...
shun you. I will shun you for quoting Molyneux in favorable light.
I said Stephen Molyneux. Okay. So,
okay. Go on.
So what I'm speaking of is, are there really plural insurance companies right now? Right, there are.
No, because it will, but government.
But there could be much more pluralities, but yeah, it's obviously.
So let me finish this thought here for a minute, really quick.
Because
this is I haven't even really finished my question at this point, because there's more questions. But the thing that Tom Woods said that makes a lot of sense is that. So Tom Woods is kind of square. Like, he's not, you know, he ain't going to the big gay dance and open carry and slam dancing at Porkfest, you know. He's a family man. He's a Christian. He's kind of subdued, but he's really smart and really good and at liberty, but and economics especially. But the thing he pointed out is that people, a lot of libertarians think just because you can do anything in liberty means you can do it anywhere, which is not true. And a lot of people don't realize that there probably would need to be a lot of, there'd be entirely private property. There'd be roads you could drive on freely because people want you to get to their stores and they'd probably build and maintain them. But, you know, you wouldn't be able to walk into the Christian community and, you know, have gay sex while tripping on mushrooms and screaming about it and firing guns in the air in the Christian covenant community.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free.
Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Uphill both ways, 6 miles in the snow, to the supermarket to get our Tide Pods to eat.
It was like, you're living in M.C. Escher land, the way you keep going uphill.
I saw a great meme today. I saw a great meme today of Jeff Deist. Is it Deist or Deist?
I believe Deist.
Yeah, I like that guy. He's cool, and he said he tweeted. It wasn't a meme; it was just a tweet from him. He said, but it got reshared a lot. He said, "As soon as we can get kids to stop eating Tide Pods, we can teach them about Austrian economics."
Classic.
Why not both? Why not eat your Tide Pods and talk about the Austrian economics of it? So anyway, we were talking about how things would work without the government. And, you know, there's just this one thing that can't be solved. You know, here's the thing, too. In every post-apocalyptic movie I've ever seen, in every society I've ever studied, there was an outlaw area or subculture. So let's say you had all these responsible, respectable communities that had their own law and you couldn't trespass and you had to abide by the law and people were shunned or punished in those communities. What about people who lived out in the Badlands as, you know, outlaws do and came into town, raped and pillaged and left? Now, another question, it's kind of the same question. What would you do about a billionaire with a private army who wanted to rape children? And I go to the most extreme, you know, people criticize people. You go to the most extreme. But that's really, it's a good thought experiment for how do you, you know, people who just murdered old ladies, people who beat people up and took their, how would you deal with horrible people who didn't live in your community, who had a private army, who had a private army? Like, let's say Jeff Bezos wanted to have Rape Island. No, I'm kidding. It would be Bill Gates and Bill Clinton. I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, okay. So if we're going to go to extremes, you mean like JFK, Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln, William McKinley? How many other people with armies have been assassinated or come close to being assassinated?
So you're saying you'd go kill them, or someone would go kill them, and no one would prosecute them. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying it's completely out of the question.
And I'm not talking about those particular people. We're not talking about, just say, random billionaire that could afford an army of 5,000, you know, trained ex-SEAL Team 6 types with the latest technology, who lived in an armed fortress and never left. How would you deal with that?
Yeah, Lou, how are you going to deal with that?
That's a good question. Well, as I said, I do not have 100% solid answers, but one thing that we do know for certain is that nobody is completely untouchable. And quite frankly, if they have 5,000 former Red Team members, there's a good chance that maybe one of them might do it.
There's a sleeper cell. Yeah, yeah. That there's someone who's taken their own oath to their own constitution to deal with enemies foreign and domestic, including his employer. Yeah. Although he'd probably die doing that. But, I mean, the answer here is there's no good answer. And that's what I thought we were going to come to. And that doesn't mean there's not an answer. That's the problem with minarchists. Not talking about Boston. I think he'd understand that as an answer. But I'm talking about, like, people who defend the government like they're defending their mother, to use a statement I invented that I like. I've been seeing that statement used more and more. I like that. You know, people who defend the government. You said it the other day.
I anarcho-communized that this morning.
Yep. Oh, that's good.
But we can't repeat the rest of what I said either, though.
Can I homeless person a cigarette off you? Yeah, like that.
I want to anarcho-communist the phrase ANFAM. See if I could.
ANFAM. I like it. Yeah. I've heard it. Steve Miller uses that, I think. Yeah.
That's open source.
Open source. It's open source software.
Open source.
Now there is one thing that I do want to address, because I am going to be out of here after this segment. When it comes to the Mint status,
you have a 1 billion year contract with me, Lou. You can't leave the Fiends ever.
Well, it doesn't.
You were drunk at Porkfest. You were drunk at Porkfest.
Yeah,
and you signed a billion-year contract with Freedom Fiends LLC, Bipcot Corporation.
Yeah, it's on the Dogecoin blockchain. Good luck finding it.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm looking at this chart here, and it shows different things. It shows Mint statism as being police, courts, and military. And one of the things, well, there's two rebuttals.
Oh, Boston thought the military could be free market, even, which is that's a radical minarchist view.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, the Mint statism is going to say police, courts, and military. One, what you have to look at is why don't you want them handling the health care, the roads, and everything else. Usually the response is that the police, courts, and military are so complicated and so important that only the government can handle that. But when you start talking about, well, if they can handle the most important stuff, don't you think they could handle the less complicated?
I know. The question, there's always room for encroachment and mission creep. And, you know, I agree with the statement, government's not good at things, and they should only do important things.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Yep. So... So let's just read some
left.
The adults have left the room. We're going to talk about stuff. So do you want to talk about, let me just read like five headlines. We were going to do these as show notes, but why don't we just read the headline and say how horrible it is and move on? Do like five of those in 3 minutes. You want to do that?
Yeah, because I have them all lined up. Which one first?
Cambodia arrests foreigners for pornographic dancing. Oh, man. So square.
I mean... I just groaned when I saw that. And then you sent me this one.
Well, hang on. The picture, though, there's a picture of the alleged pornographic dancing. It's not, I mean, it is people like, you know, doing the Humpty Bump or whatever. But, I mean, they're all clothed. Some of the men have their shirts off. I mean, it's nothing more than you'd see at most, you know, like hot discotheques in America. You know, and they
what passes for
people.
Aesthetic dance over here, you know?
Yeah.
aesthetic dance, I'm assuming anyone who's listening to this radio show probably doesn't go to e-dance or aesthetic dance, probably.
John Vibes does.
But, oh yeah, that's right.
Used to be a rave promoter.
Some hippie people, some new agey kind of people, some, you know, in the light and going with the vibe and, you know, Rainbow Brother and Sisters. They have techno hippies. Music and they dance in all types of contorted ways. And sometimes they kind of dance really close to each other in kind of obviously suggestive kind of ways. You know, that kind of thing.
So sweet.
So, just saying. And, yeah, the things I did to try to date women here on the Big Island of Hawaii, no longer. So, anyway.
So, you finally just had your private army kidnap one, right?
You know, eventually I found a voluntary way to get a win-win situation. That's what I
prefer. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Cool. I like it.
Yeah. So, going back you know, do you really want to Cambodia say more about this Cambodia thing?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to look up their religion. The main religion in that country is Buddhism. Mm-hmm. There are also Islam and Christianity people. I'm wondering, Buddhism isn't known for being terribly, I don't know, is it? The only thing I know about Buddhism is American Buddhists, and they're all like free love, you know, wife swappers, but... What's the Buddhist... are there Buddhist prudes? I know that a lot of monks... are celibate, but I don't think they're prudish. I think they are trying to be more focused. Do you know?
I really can't collectivize any Buddhists, and all the Buddhists I actually know, Michael, they're all just like Americans who basically subscribe to little segments of the Buddhism stuff that they've read.
Yeah.
So it's like
my sisters are Sufis. Did you know that?
I didn't know that at all.
It's like Islam light. Oh, my sisters are so hippie. They make you look like a Nazi skinhead.
Your hippies are so sister that they make you look like a Nazi skinhead.
Yeah. You know, I actually knew two Nazi skinheads in San Francisco that grew their hair out and became deadheads, but they were still Nazi skinheads, but they were like, they just went on dead tour because they liked easy sex and drugs. Yeah.
That's
these
adorable.
Kids today. That's adorable. Yeah. Man. All right. So the other religions in Cambodia are Islam and Christianity. Now that I'm wondering if this is like, here's a problem with democracy. I don't even know. I doubt Cambodia is a democracy. I actually know someone who plays in a punk rock band in San Francisco whose parents fled Cambodia because they were about to be murdered. It's a guy named Sathira who played in a band called Proud Flesh and a band called Crucifix. And they were kind of famous, Crucifix. They were on the Crass label. You know Crass? You don't know what any of this is, do you? Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of punk rock. That's Crass.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, kind of punk rock.
Yeah, Sathira, like, you know, his family fled when he was a baby during the killing fields. But I think it's a little less like that. Now, let's see. It's a unitary, dominant party, parliamentary, elective, constitutional monarchy. Man, I wish Lou were still on because I'd tell him, you know, finally decided to make all we got to do to have democracy work is get the right people in there and use the right flavor of it. And the perfect flavor of it is a unitary, dominant party, paramilitary, elective, constitutional monarchy. Ooh. To me, that just sounds like you know, fascism, but
you know, if I was going to build a computer program, I would have it run everything all at once. So if in case anything fails, and that's the way they run their government. In case, like, if you don't like, you know, the monarchy part, well, then the Constitution takes over.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the Constitution then you have the military junta take over. And if you
It's like those people who have a little bit of Christianity and Judaism and Islam and Buddhism.
Yeah.
Just in case they want to cover all the bases.
Spin that dreidel and then, you know, kiss them to the
Wow, you are really smart, man. I love doing shows with you. That's great. No homo. Yeah, you're great.
Aww, this is adorable.
So this is the Freedom Fiends, the only anarcho unitary dominant party parliamentary. This is the Freedom Fiends, the only anarcho unitary dominant party paramilitary elective constitutional monarchy. I'm going to change my political stance on Facebook right now to anarcho unitary dominant party paramilitary elective constitutional monarchy. I'll bet I'll be the only one. I'll be unique, man. Facebook. All right. So anyway, okay, that was longer than I wanted to spend on
that
saying,
was one
boy,
step of
there are
the
still
headlines.
There are still people in the world that are somewhat like the town in, what's that movie with the dancing with the kid with the famous actor Tom, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about. There's people yelling
Tom
at the
Cruise?
Radio. Yeah. Yeah. And, the movie where he was like 16. No, it's not him. It's the guy who played a rapist. The guy that was in the worm movie. What's his name? Man, I don't watch enough movies. Kevin Bacon. What's the Kevin Bacon dancing movie?
Kevin
from the
Bacon
70s,
dancing,
80s?
And the movie is called in the 80s, Footloose.
Yeah, and the town in Nebraska where he lives that's like
and
has banned dancing. Yeah,
town in Nebraska that banned dancing. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's still people like that in the world apparently. Yeah, so square. Yep.
Well, you gotta don't upset the wrong military junta / unitarian monetary, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, okay, so what else we got? Let's see, what else happened in the world? Florida officers say they can stand their ground, too. So basically the cops have been like, you know, I feel threatened and murdering people and saying that it's, you know, stand your ground laws cover them.
Wow.
So square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so square.
basically what was already de facto happening in the court systems anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially.
but I just them pulling that is just like, ugh. And, you know, there's actually people that have a Don't Tread on Me sticker on their pickup truck right next to the Thin Blue Line flag sticker, which is a contradiction because the police are the people that will tread on you to take your guns at some point. Who would say that? Like, yeah, police get to have that right, too. Ugh. No, they don't. I decided they don't. Yes.
I decided rights don't even exist. Yeah. Everything is just basically decisions and agreements that are made by people or broken by people. That's what's going on. You know,
there's a guy in Wyoming who believes that. There's actually a guy named Paul Bonneau, not the famous dead French philosopher, but Paul Bonneau, the anarcho crypto cowboy who's like 60 and really cool, and he's the guy that lucked. So he's the guy that joined the Marines during the Vietnam War. Like, I'm going to go over there. But like, pacifists don't join the Marines. And, you know, you don't get drafted into the Marines. Like, you have to be, well, chosen and like pass a bunch of tests that the average draftee couldn't pass. So he decided to join the Marines, and like he ended up spending the Vietnam War in the Army as a Marine in Hawaii, hanging out on the beach, because they had like a central computer system that was in Hawaii that was like controlling operations in the war, and you know they had to have it there because it was closer than anywhere else in America would be. So then they had these giant mainframe computers, and he was like the smart guy. So they had him running the computers, and he was like, yeah, I'd work there most days. You know, they're on call and the beach was within sight. I'd go hang out on the beach after I did a couple hours work and sun myself and talk to women, and they'd just yell if they needed me, and I'd come back up and work on the computers. So there you go. That's the,
that sounds like a great government job.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like, you know, while other people were like conscientious objectors, it ended up being medics on the front lines and being like sent into dangerous situations by people that didn't like them being conscientious objectors. This guy was signing up like, I'm going to defend my country and I want to have veins in my teeth and eat dead burnt bodies. And, you know, ended up on the beach, not shooting anyone. It's kind of nice work if you can get it in your town. Well, your state, probably not your island, but... Yeah,
this is actually my island. I secretly bought it. Yeah. You know, just, don't tell anyone. So
they'll all want to come visit. All right, so I just changed my about you on Facebook. My politics are anarcho unitary dominant party parliamentary elective constitutional monarchy. I'm going to tag Lou. He's probably listening. I don't know. We decided the ultimate. Come on, you talk. I'm typing.
I don't have this written down, but you know, if you get tired of trying only one specific political stance, why don't you just combine them all, including some anarcho prefix, you know, to start the whole thing off, basically, you know, just to start it off with anarcho, just to be clear, you know, so you're sure that you're the one in charge. Actually, it's more like auto. You know, autocracy, you know, that means you're in control of yourself. So over there, Michael is working away, typing something, trying to make an elaborate show title, doing the show notes during the last little bit.
Oh, this should be the show title. Oh, no, I have a show title. The show title is Fitbit Has Blood on Their Hands. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. There we go.
So Fitbit, what's Fitbit? Explain it. Fitbit
all these
is.
People are... They're wearing these fitness monitoring devices, basically, and I am...
You know, like in the 60s, everyone was worried, like, oh my God, our phones are probably tapped, and this is like, hey, look at this new watch I got to follow my movement and report on it everywhere. Yeah.
Basically. So,
yep.
All these monitoring devices like that, and meanwhile, over there in the, Afghanistan?
Yeah,
there was some folks were basically having their Fitbits give away
narc on them, giving away state secrets. Yeah, and then some guy published it all, and you know, thank him for his service, because if this is a problem, which it probably is, you know, he's exposed it to the enemies, but also I'll bet you those have been banned this morning. I'll bet you they can't still have them.
I'll bet you be back with some redemption.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Yeah, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends. So I actually solved a problem that Lou was unable to solve. We're not really going to turn into anarcho-minarchist voluntarists. What was that? Monarchists? No. Minarchist, monarchist. We're not going to do that.
Unitarian, parliamentary, military, junta, oligarchs.
Yeah. But I came up with an answer kind of half-kidding that I think is probably closer to the truth is that insurance companies would do the enforcement. You know, insurance would be a lot cheaper. Everyone would have it. Pretty much everyone would have it. Those who didn't, maybe there would be charities that would buy them insurance. You know, insurance for police, insurance for life, property, being aggressed upon, etc. So if someone aggressed on you, you'd call your insurance company and they'd send their bad men to take care of it for you. Yep. That's all.
Basically.
Yeah.
And I think that seeing that happen soon will give some proof for that, but we'll see. Starts with Cell 411, basically. That app basically is going to morph just like
Cell 411 is going to be the state. It's going to be, you know, I haven't talked about my idea about the fact that I think there's going to be a sentient AI cryptocurrency soon that's going to decide to attack other cryptocurrencies and decide what, like, it'll make intelligent decisions on what to be done with, you know, reserve currency or whatever. Like, kind of like how that stupid thing Dash, you know, has masternodes, and people who have masternodes have some skin in the game, so they decide, you know, what gets done, like, you know, which Twitty girls they hire to do their, which Twitty uninformed girls they hire to do their YouTube ads and things like that. I think that's pretty soon there'll be a cryptocurrency that does that. There's actually a cryptocurrency that says it's the first AI coin ever, but it's not. It's just a lie. It's actually a coin for, you know, buying futures in AI that may exist or something. But yeah, that ain't going to happen. But what do you think of that idea? Or do you want to talk about Summer Smith?
I think that this type of technology, let's see what happens, and may the best technologies, you know, win together, because that's what's going to happen. Just like some of the best cartoon TV shows has happened recently.
Rick and or Morty.
Yes.
That's what I call that show.
And Rick, I mean, and sometimes Morty, is an awesome show. You know?
Yeah.
No, seriously, one guy does the voice of Rick and Morty. It's very talented, that guy.
He's manic depressive, like really depressed. Have you heard interviews with him? He's suicidal.
Justin Harmon.
Dan Harmon is, though.
Dan Harmon does the voice?
No, but Dan Harmon is the co-creator.
Yes. Yeah.
Him and Justin created. And Dan Harmon is like, you know what? Basically, what I got out of reading it was that, you know, he wants to die a lot of the time. He can't get out of bed. And the reason is because he knows so much about science that he knows how insignificant he is in the universe. And that makes him depressed. Like, seriously, he walks around obsessed on that all the time. And it's problematic for him. I don't know if he wants to die, but he's depressed over that constantly.
Well, I hope he can, I would say, come to some more uplifting conclusions than that, you know, personally. But,
yeah,
you know, really, if that's what he wants to stay stuck into, and he makes some really awesome 9 more seasons of the show, then I'm fine with it, okay? If that's what it takes. If he has to hold that perspective, at least publicly,
Boy.
You know.
Yeah. But so if he ends up redemption. Killing himself, I mean, that is how people are about artists.
If he has to go like torture himself for 9 more years to give us 9 more seasons of this awesome show and just really have the most pitiful life, then that is redemption. And I'm really savoring that moment right now. You know what I'm saying?
There's actually people who believe that. Like people who are like, Kurt Cobain was so selfish to kill himself. He could have made more music. In other words, like he owed me more product to download for free. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a deserve oriented thinking complex, and I
is that a
deserve
term?
Everything.
Is that a term?
So yeah,
I like it.
It is.
Wow.
Deserve oriented thinking complex. You know.
Wow.
Similar to mouse pocketing. You know.
Yeah. So Spencer Grammer, who plays Summer on Rick and Morty, is played by a woman. Spencer Grammer plays Summer. Spencer Grammer looks like Summer. Spencer Grammer is the inveterate liberal daughter of Kelsey Grammer, who's a cocaine-using Republican. Do you know that? You know about that guy? I like that guy.
And didn't he have like some history of dating royalty and such? Kelsey Grammer?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know if you say dating his daughter. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't do that.
No,
I'm sending my private army.
Like royal daughters, you know. Did that lose you?
Kelsey
They're droning, Michael, so I'm going to say it's been a really big honor as I start to
royalty. Yep. All right. So I'm really droned, huh? I wonder if I'm going out. I'm here.
No, you're good now.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's been a beautiful show, man. Just like Summer.
Yeah. Summer is safe.
Summer is safe.